Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hey. everyone. This is Jan. Thank you for joining us this evening. I have my good buddy Rohir with me tonight. Hi, Rohir.
Hey, Jan.
He was kind enough to come on the show this evening and share some information with us about, really, I guess I would just say that we've got a couple of exciting things tonight. We've got a new transmission from Almeen that is called Fauns and Fairies. Let me make sure I have that correct. Fauns and Angels. Sorry. Gosh, those angels are going to get me. Called Fauns and Angels. And that's going to be a new one for all of us to hear. We also have a new product that Almeen has come out with. That's not even a product. It's a gift. It's called the Business Plan for Prosperity. And we're going to share that with everyone tonight. We're going to play that live for everyone. So if you haven't gotten a chance to hear about it from our email list or seen it anywhere on Facebook or Twitter, you'll be able to hear it tonight. And I'd like to ask Rohir, I know we've had an interesting discussion today to kind of change to a different topic. We've had some interesting discussion and conversation about communication and about some comments that Almeen made on our daily lesson on the Interstellar Mysticism course. And I have to be truthful and admit that I have not listened to it yet for today. So I wonder if you could share with our listeners the comments that Almeen made that kind of tied in with your situation. And then I'd like you to expand a little bit on your intuitive information you received. Can you do that for us?
Well, it's interesting you would say communication, because I'm kind of wondering now what exactly, because I was referring to what had to do with the Matrix. I'm not sure if that's
right.
What you...
Well, I am. That is what I'm referring to. I was kind of trying to couch it in some other terms so it wouldn't give it away. But, go ahead and please share. That was a good trick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. Very
so good. I didn't even get it. Well, why don't you please share with myself and our listeners the audio that Almeen gave today on the Interstellar course, which spoke about the Matrix, and then please do go on and we'll discuss your particular personal situation with that information.
All right. Well, like you said, today on Interstellar Mysticism, there was a transmission from there were two transmissions, one from the Pleiades and one from Orion, which is, of course, very global. Anyway, those were the corners that they were from. And I know they were very sort of generally about the Matrix, which essentially is an interpretation device. And there has been a cosmic matrix, and presumably that's dissolved now, but then there are still personal matrices which essentially keep everything in place. And in the transmission through Almeen, posted last night or today, they were alluding to a language of the Matrix, which is essentially something which I received on Sunday, and I kind of wanted to show Almeen actually how I received it was as follows. I started to get this idea that there is a way to sort of learn to control the Matrix first, and then once we've learned to sort of control it, then we can dissolve it, and rather than sort of trying to dissolve it and then sort of have it come back all the time, maybe there was just something we're missing. Anyway, the point is not really which ideas I had specifically, because most of them turned out to be sort of slightly off the mark. But the point is they did lead me to this important thing where I suddenly had this, normally I'm not really doing the, not really going out on this sort of oracle tangent, but this time I just had a sense that there was something I should be drawing, which I don't do a lot. I mean, I did it for Windows into Eternity. There's some images there, and I've done it last year that I received some sigils, but that was about it. But this time I was really feeling that there was something that had to come out, and then I'd drawn eight sigils, So then Ephraim Val walks in and he's looking at them and he's like, oh, is that the Satyr's language? And I was like, I'm not sure. I hope not.
Wow.
But one of the sense I got is that it's machine language. Like it's the code of which the matrix consists. And, that's the kind of stuff I bring forth. Usually people bring forth sunny and lovely things, and I get the dark.
What did we just learn about that last week, you know? Really the idea, yeah, that there's no, you know, up, down, dark, light, you know, it's all surf, so.
Good point.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at it, I wasn't sure whether I was supposed to sort of like or dislike what I was seeing, because it's very hard to get a sense of what you're even looking at, but it certainly looks like it evokes a sense of like factories and sort of you see these kind of in between, you can sort of see images, what look like little people or even sort of beings that are kind of sort of like little factory workers or they're stuck there, kind of like trapped souls or both, but it's very sort of mechanical. And but what was interesting is that Sunday morning, Almin had called me and from Los Angeles and said, I think you have something to tell me or to show me or something like
that. Oh my God.
And I was like, I don't know. So I just sort of started talking about something sort of whatever and nothing really significant. And then a few hours later, I started receiving this and I was like, oh, okay, that's probably what she was, alluding to. But then I was wanting to show her, which I did I told her about it on Monday and she was, later I said to Ephraim Val, like, I don't think she's really interested in this this language. Like, she might be a bit fed up with with the Matrix altogether. But she was saying to me, initially she said, well, you know, I'm really not going to, quote-unquote, dance with the devil anymore, meaning the Matrix, and trying
kind of
to sort of accommodate
it.
It anyway.
Yeah.
But later she realized, or she told me that what this is for is that there are this code or this language that I've brought forth, and I think there's a bit more to bring forth, but I just haven't really had the nerve to go sit down for it. But what it is actually for is that there is still remnants of the Matrix, even though the Matrix is for the most part has been dissolved. There's still these sort of very persistent remnants, certainly on a personal level, and essentially. She said that this code is going to be used to sort of, crash the Matrix, as she said, essentially sort of write a virus into it and sort of have it sort of destroy itself. So it sounds kind of exciting and, not really sure how that's going to turn out. I did actually realize what was really important, that when she and I were talking about the Matrix, that of course it's kind of a cliche almost now in certain areas of spirituality to use that term, kind of like as if everyone knows what it means, but essentially what the Matrix or matrices are interpretation devices, and why interpretation devices are so destructive is because it's like, for example, belief systems. It takes something which is fluid and makes it into something which is static, at least in terms of perception. So, for example, we have a sense of familiarity with surroundings where we're supposedly are always, you know, this is where we live and this is our town and everything is kind of familiar and there's a kind of, you know, we know what this is, so to speak. And it's that sense, for example, is indicative of a personal matrix. Like in theory, you could have this sort of wild and fresh perception that you have when you arrive in a strange land and a strange language and strange surroundings. You don't know everything and everything is kind of really vibrant and alive. Like in theory, you could have that everywhere but we don't because of matrices. And it's kind of like the analogy is as well, is that it's kind of like you take a pool with water, and water is supposed to be flowing, but sort of surround, like, you know, put boundaries around it, and it just sort of goes rotten and decaying, and that's essentially what a matrix does with reality. So, but anyway, this machine language is what we're going, or what Almin says she's going to use to essentially crash, make it crash, and I think there is some kind of, won't say course, but maybe some kind of teaching experience that's going to be, that this is going to be part of. We are looking at the possibility to extend institute life more, the online institutes into a component which is kind of, you know, not necessary, but kind of complementary to the online curricula, and where it's more intimate teaching experience, like, for example, on a conference call, and maybe with screencasting and a few downloads which accompany it, but where you essentially would be live with Almin for 4 hours maybe, or few hours spread over a few days, or not quite sure what, but I just had a sense that this body of information, if we can even call it that, this machine language might be part of that. So that's the story.
That's pretty amazing. Even the fact that you're saying your personal experience with it, that it's almost like it's difficult for you to, it sounds like, sit down and let it come through, just because it's so powerful, and how you said you were sort of questioning, like, what exactly, you know, is this, and what am I bringing through here? You make, go ahead.
Well, how it went is that initially, when I was on Sunday evening, when I was bringing the second half forth, there was this kind of excited sense, like, wow, this is really powerful, and I was, then my assumption was this is something, well, quote unquote, positive, like, you know, this is good and nice. But then later, when I sort of returned to it, like the next day, and looked at it, I thought, wow, this is actually this is very powerful, but in such a primal way that you don't necessarily feel it's serving a good power, you know.
So
that's, of course, why it's kind of like we can, or she says she can essentially be used to crash what's left of matrices, because it's like the hidden code of the machinery is being laid bare, and with that, armed with that knowledge, it can actually sort of be destroyed. So and now that I know what it is, there's a sense of, I don't really know. It makes me feel a bit queasy now, the idea that I sort of bring forth more from it, but I'll probably have to do that soon. So.
Well, it's purposeful. You know, it's like you have a sense of the purpose of it. It's almost, I'm feeling the idea that any tool that we've had, like, for instance, if you've had any belief system, perhaps at some point it's been an aid to you to accomplish a certain thing, or to be able to fortify yourself through a certain situation, but then you get through it, you gain the insight, and you grow, and you can put that tool aside. But if we get too static, as you were making the point, then it becomes more like a crutch than a tool, and then that can become a habit, and then that can become, you know, social conditioning or worldview, and then it's almost like people will show on energetic photos or energetic drawings where people have body armor. It's like something that has served to protect you or help you through a situation, then becomes something that totally dulls you out, or, you know, you can no longer feel in this particular place, part of your body, because you've just gotten this, you know, patch on patch on patch, which is, you know, become like armor. So these overlays of reality, these matrices, like time, for instance, you know, is a tool that helps us all, you know, get together at a specific, you know, location and a specific some sort of reference point. But when you engage in it as, you know, a reality, 24/7 is like some reality, which it's not, then it becomes a matrix. So it's sort of, I don't know, to me the idea almost that something can, it's not good or bad, you know, the same idea, it's not good or bad, it's not, you know, ascension or descension, it's just all serving to, you know, get us to some point where we can be in that fluidity, like you discussed, being a stranger in a strange land where everything is magical and anything is possible.
Yeah, well, I would, yeah, certainly that one thing which is sort of clearly emerging, though, now is that there's a very thin line between a tool and a matrix, and that it's probably very much more quickly a matrix than a tool, simply in the sense that, like Almin was telling Efrimel and myself that same day, that she said, nothing what has come before can, you know, what, nothing that has been before can prepare you for what is to come. And Efrimel took that more of a sort of, on a more, I mean, there's at least two levels to this. One is the more epic one, which he sort of looked at it, and which I can appreciate as well. But there's also the other one, which is immediately what I associated with it, which is really like everything that's come before this moment cannot actually prepare you for the next moment. Like there's nothing in there that you can actually rely upon to sort of make sense of what is coming.
Yeah. It's like a false reference point. Yeah.
Very powerful stuff.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's, I think now what we're learning is, you know, maybe when you're in baby steps, you know, quote unquote, like training wheels or, you know, whatever is helpful. But as you're saying, now it's not. It's like we're moving so quickly that anything that you think is any sort of a reference point just does not serve. You know, it's just going to trip you up. So the fluidity is just imperative.
And effortless.
It's really, yes. That's what's, I think, challenging for us to, it's almost like you feel like we've been in struggle mode so much that it's difficult to just surrender, you know, which Almin has just repeatedly said, we have to surrender to this boundarylessness and this just, effortless knowing, and that sounds like it would be easy to just go, okay, I agree, but it, I mean, it's challenging, I think. It's almost like a faith and a trust to be able to do that and more. I don't even know, for every individual, it's different.
And it's like you're constantly, it's almost like you're constantly tried as well in that sense to sort of, you know, be tempted to not surrender either. So that's a bit difficult to overcome, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the idea of sometimes the people who have the highest intellectual functioning, or they're very linear thinkers, have the most trouble with letting go and surrendering, like, to the releasing of social conditioning or different worldviews, personal conditioning, because if you let go of one little piece, you have to let go of everything. And when you've developed a tool like linear thinking, it's a very powerful reference point. You know, you have a lot of ego identification with it, so it's a difficult one to lay down. And being as a child is not as easy as it sounds, I guess. Do you have anything in particular that you'd like to share about the two transmissions we had, the songs that we listened to, the sound elixirs we listened to at the beginning of the show?
I only know that they're from Hidden Planets, but I don't actually, I'm not the one that's really conversant with the details for that.
All right. Okay. Well, let's off the hook there with that one. We do have one, as I said, that we're going to listen to a little bit later called Fawns and Angels, and I don't have any particular information about it. But, again, we're in that surrender mode. We're in that nonlinear mode where we're just allowing ourselves to feel, you know, what is being conveyed to us. So I'm going to ask Seth to play for us here in just a minute our business plan for prosperity, which we're going to share, and I'd like to just give a little intro to that. This, again, is a free product download, and can you just tell people over here where they can go to get that?
Currently, it's on seerswisdom.com, and so, you know, Seer's Wisdom, and then on there you just go to tools, and it's one of the tools that you can select and then just download it or play it on the website itself.
Great. And I know there's a link. Thank you for sharing that. I know there's a link on there also for the Bhavaspatar website, which I would encourage people to go look at. I'm not going to give that at this point since we do we have mentioned it several times previously, but you can just get right on there and get on the site. And I'm just going to read this little introduction that's offered on the website. In a financially challenging year, Almeen has produced a free audio presentation for Bhavaspatar practitioners to create a thriving business to address the needs of their clients. This can be done from your home and produce supplementary income. Though many Bhavaspatar practitioners have been able to grow their practice into a full-time profession. And one of the aims of our business plan for prosperity and some of the other tools that are coming forth, such as the Irish Sattva Yoga, the Alchemy, again, our Bhavaspatar, are to just give people tools to build their practices. I do want to mention that Almeen uses the term license rather interchangeably with registered, and just please be aware that really what she's referring to is the fact that we have a directory and you can be registered on that site, on our Bhavaspatar site, and it means that we have verified that you have completed either mastery or grand mastery initiation level in order to be listed on the directory. And it's a source of information for people who would like to find someone they can work with to receive Bhavaspatar, either a healing session or an initiation. And it's also a place where we can promote our businesses for other people. So without further ado, Seth, if you could please play that business plan for prosperity for us. We're ready.
In creating a business that flourishes, you benefit not only yourself, but others. The more people that hear about your successful Bhavaspatar practice, the more it can benefit. The more they benefit, the more you earn. We have spent much time on Facebook and on Twitter and on the blog discussing matters of abundance. For I felt that so many times spiritual healers have a love-hate relationship with money. They feel somehow that they shouldn't be charging. My beloved brothers and sisters, practitioners in the field, Bhavaspatar was meant to benefit not only you, but your clients. With this in mind then, let us make a business plan for the year to come. Something that has been not necessarily planned, but that is truly a success story for spiritual journeys. The business that I run is that we have not only changed people's lives in a beneficial way, but we have managed to create community, a sense of belonging, a place where people can go and know that their soul and their body and their minds are being fed, and have formed deep and abiding friendships with others that have the same seeking goals. This is something you too can accomplish with your Bhavaspatar practice. There are some pointers that I've come up with over the years from running my own business that I can pass on to you. First of all, if you only give someone a fragment of assistance, only one facet of the diamond, they go somewhere else to get the other facets. So if you can give them a very well-rounded approach to holistic living with multiple practices they can enjoy, the childlike desire that everyone has of what's new, what is exciting, what can I learn today that I didn't know before, gets answered and satisfied. So with this in mind, I recommend the following. Continue to establish a good reputation with Belvaspata. But we are preparing something for you that will set you aside from all other healers out there in the field with the multiple modalities they may be practicing. We are preparing for you, and if it isn't already available, it will be very soon, a maintenance program for Belvaspata. If you have 10 healers to choose from, one is doing this modality, the other is doing that, and there is a Belvaspata practitioner, and each one tells you, I can help you. But one says, not only can I help you, but because the many belief systems we have, the doctor's opinions, your own belief systems, your own unfortunate habit that may be invested in being ill, all of these things work against the healing. And so, when you come to me for a healing, I will be healing you every day for 6 months. In your absence, whether you come for sessions or not, come for sessions, because we can peel away layer upon a layer of illusion. But the healing that I do for you as my client every day will help the healings that you do get from me to stay. It will help with maintenance. The maintenance program that we have designed for you, my brothers and sisters, requires but a corner somewhere in your home or somewhere in your practice or in your office where you can set up a small setting of sacred wheels where you can, in fact, add names like a prayer list, except it's a Belvaspata healing list. You always put the new names on top, and you continually check the bottom names. They always have dates next to them, so that you can remove names after 6 months, or you can just cross them off. This way, everybody you see is added to this list. It helps you be more successful because it maintains the good work that you as a practitioner does, and it is a magnificent selling point and should be part of what you offer in advertisements so that prospective clients can see just how dedicated you as a healer are to their well-being, that you are willing to heal them every day. It takes 15 minutes a day to do the healing list with the maintenance program of Belvaspata. Advertise it, my brothers and sisters. It is a magnificent, set apart from the other healers, factor that the public should know. Now, we are living in times where there is perceived by humanity to be a scarcity of abundance. Precarious financial times, they call it. For many, the reason is that the gates of abundance in the body is blocked with debris and toxins and does not fully allow abundance that you should be manifesting for them to be received. And so we have given you Irash Sattva Yoga. I have never been in a yoga class other than once when I was asked to address a group of yoga students. I know nothing about yoga. Nevertheless, I wrote this book. And it's just a booklet. It's very easy to master. And the very key component to it is the music that goes with it. I received it just as I did the Belvaspitar, straight from the infinite, for Belvaspitar teachers to teach. You don't need to have done yoga to master Irash Sattva Yoga and teach it to others. And as you do, we will be given more and more levels of Irash Sattva Yoga. And for now, you can give yoga classes, you can have your Belvaspitar practice, and there are two more areas that if you can expand your business to, you will have created the beginnings of a spiritual community. The second one is given in the 3-month Academy of Alchemy course. Records received and translated from the angelic kingdom that gives information on how to become an alchemist. We ran the course during the last few months of 2009, and now it is available as a product that you can buy. It is approximately 1,000 pages handwritten that I got from the angels, with every other day people received an audio or video clip and transmission that I gave them on the material. It teaches you how to create your own potions, your own holy waters, your own essential oils, many different alchemical elixirs to be able to give to your clients. You need a supply of bottles, and it's all used topically, so you won't in any way be illegal in prescribing them. They come at times in different strengths. In that course, it tells you everything you know to become an alchemist. And when you purchase and finally work your way through a course like that at your own schedule, because as a product, it doesn't need to take 3 months. You can go as fast or as slow as you wish. When you have completed it, you are able to also teach it to others. All we ask is that because of copyrighted reasons, you give the credit of myself as the source. And you may reprint the sacred ceremonies only, and that can be distributed to those that you teach. So you can become not only somebody that can sell the elixirs, the holy waters, and so forth. You can also, at the same time, use the sound elixirs. There's a sound elixir healing available with Belvaspitar. There's an alchemical sound healing available when you purchase the 18 sound elixirs for $17.99 from angelsoundhealing.com. And the dean of the Academy of Belvaspitar, Jan Alvey, has gone and studied the effects of the sound healing that we currently have available on the site. It comes for free when you purchase the sound elixirs. And she has vouched that it has phenomenal results. You can become, therefore, an alchemist working with physical elixirs, potions, essential oils, etc. Or you can become a sound healer working with sound elixirs. You can become the yoga teacher of Irash Sattva Yoga, the yoga that opens the gates of abundance in the body, as well as your Belvaspata practice. Now, the Irash Sattva Yoga is in fact the first in a series of products. The further products that will come in that specific line, as well as the Irash Sattva Yoga and its manual with its compact disc that you can play as the music, because it requires that you use specific sound elixirs created for it with your yoga. And as you do that, you are in fact using the first in a series of products called Practical Wisdom for Spiritual Mastery. The products as they come forth will allow you not only to be a yoga teacher, but also to become a spiritual coach. This particular line of products is a sideline to Belvaspata to create a spiritual coach, so that you have at your fingertips the answers to the problems that your clients may bring in counseling sessions as a spiritual coach. Your practice must be marketed, yes, but the more you can show that many different skill levels are yours, that you're a Belvaspata licensed practitioner registered with the Academy of Belvaspata, remember to pay your dues, my brothers and sisters. We are there for you as a support. But you can also say that you are, in fact, a sound healer, using the elixirs, and also then able to do sound healing with the 18 elixirs that are able to be purchased from the angelsoundhealing.com website. There are three different sets of healing modalities that go with that particular set. You can also say that you are a yoga teacher. Then you can say that you are a coach when the other products come out and you study them. So you can see what we're planning for you, if you plan with us, is to become a holistic practice that covers soul with its coaching of spiritual principles, which is the root cause of disease. You can also help heal the illusion of that disease with Belvaspata. And it's very, very complete library of different protocols, many of which will come forth in 2010. You can also be a yoga teacher, a sound healer. All these things can now be advertised so that people take you seriously, so that people can know that when they come to you, one way or the other, they're going to get assistance. Now, let us talk a bit about marketing. If you are starting out, if you need to become known, have professional-looking flyers printed. You may use the Belvaspata insignias. You may use them in conjunction with the exquisite swan design that is part and parcel of its image. You can make a professional, beautiful poster that you can put up on a regular basis. Because do not think because you put a poster up once that it remains. Someone tears it down. Somebody cleans the window. It's gone. Put it where people are likely to go that would need your assistance. Health food stores, yoga centers, any place where holistic health and well-being, spirituality, meditational groups are holding their meetings, that's where you want to be seen. regularly make your rounds and put up your posters. Now, another thing to do is to hold 3 circles of Balvaspatal. Make sure that your advertisement says that you do, if you are able to, if you have a high enough level of Balvaspatal, that you do offer initiation to other would-be practitioners. This is another part of your business that should be promoted. Many people are disenchanted with the medical profession. Many people need an extra job to make some income. Many people are simply awakening to the beauty of spiritual healing. Hold 3 circles. For example, every Friday night, have the people that come learn Balvaspatal, do a little lecture if you want to, have a healing on the people, have people bring cookies and so on, so it's a little social gathering. There even is the possibility that you can feed their souls at that time. If you go to Almin Wisdom Twitter, as well as my Facebook, on every day's entries, there are pieces of wisdom given. You can print those out for them. You can discuss 1 or 2 of them. There can be a little discussion group. There can be refreshments. There can be a yoga session, a group healing, etc. Have those for free. Word of mouth always has been the best form of advertising.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Rahir, for joining us. We're going to close our show with a transmission from Almin called Fawns and Angels. Thank you. Good night.
Night after night after night, the hidden kingdoms have come into my bedroom, into my dreams, have provided me with visions. I have found them in the house. An unheard-of occurrence, since I keep my house very private. Last night, a fawn was in the house. I awoke my daughter to see if she could see him. He was in the corner of our bedroom, waiting to speak. What is it that they wanted to give us? In each instance, they said, "Let us show you the treasure in your roots. Let us guide you through the tunnels of the treasure trove." And so last night, finally, I understood what they meant. During the second month of interstellar mysticism, the entire month is transmissions, gifts, secrets of the hidden kingdoms, the angelic beings, the dragons, the fairies. And so, finally, they wish to tell us the true gifts that they bring. I will now be speaking to an angelic being who has waited to speak with you. Strabech minik heres utrat menesh aklat varik ekret. Supilich paruch kravas. Eshterek paruch nansa nekite. Pli harak nustava, krutna serek aras pratna, pil ash nu a nijechkava drahuvit. The Star Brothers, the 12 hidden races, the 12 known races, represent the horizontal plane, that which is to your left and that which is to your right. It is in understanding their gifts and the messages that they bring that man shall understand himself, that he shall clear his incarnational cycles. 24 in all do they bring the secrets of and the resolution to. Stechbe glivech haras, nun sechbe pirik unatvarat graves. Plahubis Blahubis, Stedek Pluhava, Minach. We tell you now the 24 realms of beingness called the natures of man, that the hidden kingdoms shall reveal to you, that you yourself know not of. It represents the above and below. And in the above and below of the directions, you may find great treasures. And as you gather them, so too those directions can change. Stihuvak barek tana, isarak asute, mishvelech brikva, nun stechve pilesh praut. Do you not wonder what the archetypal animals shall bring? Deep is the shamanic journey into yourself, into the depth of your existence, for it will reveal the gifts of the direction of within and without, and in doing so, you shall be able to close those directions also. Sterik parus, nech kanavik, hilish bratva, nensech paruch asta. Shtava pavichneste, ilish erestrach vanuch. The deeper you go into the directions and their gifts, the greater the magic that you shall learn to reclaim once again. For what they reveal to you is you yourself.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.